This podcast is brought to you by Adidas. Same dogs, new threads. Head to huskyteamstore.com to check out the new collection. This podcast is sponsored by University Bookstore. Join the Pack Rewards and save 10% on Husky gear every day, even on game day. Join the Pack today at ubookstore.com.
Hey guys, welcome to The Wrap-Up. I'm Claudia Yaw, your host and The Daily's news editor. Today, I'm walking you through some of the news The Daily has covered in the last week. If you haven't picked up our paper yet, do it. We're coming up on the 20th anniversary of the battle in Seattle, one of the biggest protests Seattle has ever seen. It all happened when the World Trade Organization held its ministerial in the convention center. Our cover article dives into the Daily's archives. In 1999, we covered the multi-day protests extensively. Here's how we framed it back then. Quote, "Okay, kids, as of next week, the WTO will be in town. For those who don't know, the WTO is a new organization composed of every big shot fat cat in the honky world. They're all meeting to make the world a giant McDonald's where you're going to make $4.75 an hour and like it." Unquote. The World Trade Organization was and is the world's largest international economic organization. It dictates many of the world's trade agreements. It was a beacon of capitalism. And the people who ran it? Unelected. Critics said the WTO viewed human rights and environmental protections simply as barriers for capital gain. Seattleites viewed the WTO's ministerial as a celebration of corporatocracy and the squashing of human rights, the environment, and entire communities. Our reporter Matthew Hippolito dug into the archives to find pictures of the Seattle police using tear gas and rubber bullets on peaceful protesters. What Matthew discovered in reporting this story was that protesters had a pretty cordial relationship with SPD at first. But then, former SPD chief Norm Stamper made the decision to use unwarranted force. Today, Stamper says he is completely responsible for what happened at those protests. Quote, "If you tear gas nonviolent, non-threatening people, you're going to refocus from free trade, fair trade, economic policies, global issues of geopolitical importance, and so forth, to the police department. A great deal of the anger was redirected from globalization to the SPD. 20 years later, we can still learn a lot from the battle in Seattle. UW professor Dr. Eva Chernofsky explained that before the WTO protests, there wasn't really language to critique capitalism. The protests mainstreamed the idea that capitalism has failed in many ways. Politicians like Bernie Sanders use those ideas and that language to create entire campaigns around capitalism. Labor historian Dr. James Gregory said the protests were the coming out party of the American left. My description can't possibly do this story justice, especially considering all of the archived photos and the podcast that goes along with this story. So do yourself a favor and read the whole thing at dailyuw.com.
Between tuition, books, student loans, and living expenses, managing money as a college student can be stressful. BECU is here to help. Visit becu.org/uw-student for financial advice made specifically to help UW students start their financial lives on the right foot. BECU can guide you step-by-step through tracking your spending, building a budget, learning to save, and understanding how to avoid common financial mistakes. BECU is a not-for-profit credit union and home of the exclusive purple and gold UW debit card. Visit becu.org/uw-student to get started. Federally insured by NCUA. This podcast is also brought to you by Global Innovation Exchange. Are you ready to lead the development of innovative solutions for connected devices or robotics? The UW Master of Science and Technology Innovation, MSTI, offered by the Global Innovation Exchange, teaches the skills needed to go from concept to development and onto market. GIX is a new model of experiential education founded by the UW, Tsinghua University, and Microsoft. Work alongside industry sponsors to get hands-on experience. Courses are focused in the areas of design thinking, technology development, and entrepreneurship. Learn more at our next info session on October 3rd at 6 p.m. at the UW Allen Library Auditorium, and explore our cutting-edge space on December 5th at 5:20 p.m. at the Global Innovation Exchange in Bellevue. Learn more and sign up at gixnetwork.org. GIX, design, build, launch.
In other news, a student-led task force is currently laying the groundwork for the potential of an Office of Inclusive Design. The task force was created last year and will soon report its findings. Currently, students' main resource for accessibility accommodations comes from the Disability Resources for Students, housed in the Division of Student Life. But with DRS, students have to request their own accommodations and have to submit those requests weeks in advance. Camille Hatwig, who authored the bill creating the task force, wants the Office of Inclusive Design to help RSOs make their events accessible in the first place, instead of placing the burden on students who require more accessibility. Student fees for the UPass program may be going up, as three new light rail stations are set to open as early as fall of 2021. The UPass Advisory Board is currently working with Transportation Services to assess whether an increase in cost would be necessary to keep light rail construction moving. Things are further complicated by the passage of I-976, the initiative led by infamous Tim Iman, which has the potential to radically gut funding for public transit in Seattle and across the state. The co-motion makerspace will soon be replaced by a quote-unquote startup incubator. Co-motion staff noted that the new space will, quote, increase our ability to support spin-offs in markets where we see a high demand. UW administration caught some flack from students who use the makerspace to learn new skills and work on personal or school projects. One student described the conflict as students versus startups. Although there are other makerspaces on campus, some students were skeptical that they could accommodate all the students who regularly use the co-motion makerspace. Joshua Vasquez, a PhD student who made public comment during a Board of Regents meeting, thinks the move is symbolic of the university forgetting that they are an educational institution rather than a business. That's all for the wrap-up. Pick up our papers on stands around campus or read more at dailyuw.com. See you next time.